grace, to find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Lord, we ask you right now for your influence on our lives. You're the King of glory. You are the King of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. And Lord, we ask you now by your influence and by your Spirit to anoint our ears that we can hear. Anoint our hearts, Lord, so that you can plant. Anoint our lips, Lord, so that we can speak. But Lord, that we can be walking in and be changing into your glory and your image. We ask you now, Lord, to touch our lives, change us. Ask us in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen. 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 Ministering today, the title is, tell you what, just turn to the book of St. John, and we'll just read the title. Book of St. John, chapter 4, verse 27. Chapter 4 is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's talking about Jesus with the woman at Samaria, from Samaria, at the well, Jacob's well, and it's quite interesting. And we're going to be looking at that in just a second. In verse 27, we find the title, What the Lord Has Quickened Me, or What I Sense That the Lord Has Quickened Me to Share With You Today. And verse 27 says of St. John chapter 4, and at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. Title is, they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. I'm going to be saying some things today, not in defense, but maybe adjustment, maybe balance. Sometimes by what you don't say, people hear things. And so I want to look at some things and adjust some things today by saying some things that maybe I have said by not saying, or maybe I haven't said, or whatever. By my silence on saying some things, I've said some things. So I want to correct that. In 2 Corinthians 10, and you don't have to turn to these. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, or I am, and you don't have to feel obligated to turn to these because most of you know these scriptures that I'm looking into. I'll tell you when I specifically need you to turn to one. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Or our means of warfare is not by hand-to-hand combat. It's not with the flesh. It's not according of the ways of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. For the destruction of fortresses, NASV says, and King James says strongholds. There are strongholds that all of us have. And the weapons of our warfare are for the destruction of those strongholds. And Luann was talking earlier about walls. Sometimes we allow walls to come up, and these things become strongholds. But the weapons that God gives us is to destroy the walls. He has already broken down the middle wall of partition, right? And there's no walls now. All the walls are fictitious, and he has led the captive, and he's done all these things for us. Then verse 5 says, we are destroying speculations, King James says imaginations, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And then he goes on to say, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. The punishment of disobedience is contingent upon our being obedient. That's what the Bible says. But what I'm wanting to bring here right now, and what I'm wanting to say to us from this passage, is that the knowledge of God, the things of God, are so important to understand to be obedient. Are you with me now? If you don't know what God says, how can you be obedient, right? And so sometimes in our zeal to know what God says, we stab at something and looks like we are exalting something. And by exalting one thing, it looks like we're not exalting something else. And so it looks like we're out of balance. And I have probably done that in ministering about men and women. And so what I want to do today is, first of all, say a few things before I start, before I begin. Oftentimes, it's not what is said, but what is not said that brings confusion. Okay? Now, this became apparent to me this week. Judy, who is, by the way, down in Griffin, we had a marriage in our family, and they didn't let us know, really, it was going. We knew that it may be, but we didn't know for sure that it would be until Saturday. And we just really couldn't get everything worked out so that both of us could go, so she went. But Judy was having a conversation with someone this week, and it was a very, very good conversation. And some things were enlightened in a way that she was able to communicate to me some things. And it was very good, and that's where I'm coming from today. So what I'm after today, and this is what I'm going to do, I am going to attack a stronghold that I believe the enemy has, and I'm going to bring it down, and I'm going to declare it a lie, and I'm not going to give that thing a place anymore in our church. Okay? Because I'm not wrestling with you, and you're not wrestling with me. But we are well aware that there is a principality in our area. That's what we're coming against. And if he can turn you against me, or me against you, or us against each other, we got problems. Okay? So it's been heard by my silence that I do not believe that the Lord speaks to women. I declare to you this morning that is a lie. You've never heard me say, but you've heard me say by my not saying. So what I'm doing right now is saying, I know, ladies, I know, women, that the Lord speaks to you. It has been heard by my ministering about manhood that if you are married, the Lord will only speak to the woman through the man. I declare to you this morning, that is a lie. You've never heard me say that, but by my not saying that, you think I said that, right? By my, amen. All right. It has been heard that I do not believe or desire for women to minister or operate in the gifts. Now, by my not saying that I did not agree with that, that was not the way that I stood, that's what you heard me say, or some people heard me say, and I declare to you that that's a lie. That I know that God wants you to function in the gifts, that I know that God speaks to you specifically, and that I know that God can speak to you whether you've got a husband or not. But I ask you, women, to understand that the principality of this area hates me and will do all it can to turn you against me. I ask you to pray for me, bear with me, and question when you do not understand something that you think I have or have not said. Okay? Now, are you still in John 4? Okay. John 4. What I want to show here is just simply, I'm not going to get into the spiritual exegete here. I'm not going to talk about how all these things come into a spiritual dimension and all. I just want to bring you the principle, the truth of what really happened here. The Lord Jesus spoke to a woman and the woman spoke to the Lord. They had dialogue. Verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus, what? Said to her. Now, who initiated this conversation? Jesus. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman, therefore, what? Said to him. Now, this isn't very deep, is it? This is... How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Now, there's a lot of stuff here, but I don't even want that. You know, I just want this done today. Since I am a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, Jesus answered and what? Said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. Okay, now you're getting what, drop down to verse 13. And Jesus answered and said to her, verse 15, the woman said to him, verse 16, he said to her, and the woman answered and said, and Jesus said to her. How many see what I'm saying here? All right. What I'm saying is that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, yet God, speaks to women. I want that so clear. And it's not that I know that you women need to hear that. I know you women know you hear God. I want you to know today that us men know that you hear God.
Amen.
Amen. 13 times between verses 7 and verse 30, somewhere in there, it says, he said to her, or she said to him. Now, this is very clear to me. The Lord God does not have problems with women. Now, his disciples did. Look at verse 27. Okay? And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman. Now, is this kind of what's going on in the church realm today? If we're not cautious, there's some of the spiritual guys who say, no, God really didn't talk to her. She's a woman. Come on, help me a little bit now. This is a little difficult, and I need your help. Amen. So, disciples. Now, these men were lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus, yet they marveled. Okay? Verse 39 says there, and from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. How was that city affected? By the word of the woman. She introduced many people to the Lord Jesus. She opened a door to many, many hearts and many, many people. And then in verse 41 it says, and many more believed because of his word. Because of the word of the woman, the Lord was able to come in there and give a more word. Do you see what I'm saying? Because she opened the door because of her ministry, because of what God had done in her life, and because of her proclamation, then the Lord God was able to come in there and do some more things in that city. That's good, isn't it? Amen. 13 times Jesus said to her, or the woman said to him. Look now in Genesis 1 with me. Genesis 1. And again, I'm not teaching this so that women will know they can hear God or speak to God or move with God or minister for God. You already know that. The reason that I'm saying this and teaching this today is so that you'll know that I know it and that you'll know that our husbands know it. Okay? That's what I'm doing it for. You know you're hearing God. Genesis 1, verse 27, very, very familiar passage. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed him. Huh? Them? You mean he didn't bless the man above the woman? Or the woman above the man? Who did he bless? Them. And then go on, and it says, and God said to him. God said to them. The very first time in the scriptures where it is written and recorded that God spoke to people, it spoke to them, not him, not her. Them. God wants a oneness. Okay? Clear? Very, very clear. Now look in chapter 3. We know what happens in chapter 3. The serpent comes. We've been taught all that stuff, and I don't even want to talk about it, okay? But in verse 8, look what it says. And Adam heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. What? They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. According to the Bible, does the woman hear the moving of God? Can a woman hear the moving of the mulberry trees? And can a woman know when the Spirit is saying to move or doing something? Sure. Sure. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man said to his wife, and the man and his wife hid themselves. Now, verse 9. And the Lord God called the man. Okay? And then in verse 12, well, verse 13, then the Lord God called who? Or said to the woman. Okay? But let's not leave out one more necessary part here. In verse 14, and the Lord God said to the serpent. I want you to know, I just wanted to point this out. I want you to know who's running things. Man, the Lord God said to the serpent. He's in charge, isn't he, Ted? He is in charge. The man's not in charge. The woman's not in charge. The serpent's not in charge. The Lord God's in charge. But the thing we want to see here is that he went to the man first because the man should have covered his wife. He went to the woman and he talked to the woman and she said to him, there's a dialogue there, and then it's the serpent. Okay. Now, was this woman married? And God was talking to her. And we're going to look at a few more just to bring that particular thought and point out. Flip over real quickly to Judges with me. And there, this is bottomless. There is no bottom to bringing this. I mean, there's so many examples that we could look at and find here. Judges chapter 13 is the story about the conception of Samson. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. Verse 1. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Are you with me? Judges 13. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Now watch. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to who? The woman. And said to her, behold now, you were barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, I believe that this angel, this appearing of this angel, is a Christophany in the Old Testament, or an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. She tries to describe him, and she really can, and he looks like a man, but then she goes on, and we'll look at that in just a second. But in verse 18, what the NASV says, because he'd asked the angel, the man had asked the angel the name by this time, by the angel's name, and he says, in the NASV it says, wonderful. He says, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? Who is the wonderful one? And my margin says incomprehensible. Now, I don't know what your version says, but I have to believe that this is a Christophany of the Lord Jesus coming and speaking to this woman. All right? But at any rate, it is a spiritual being, right? She heard the Spirit. She heard the message of God, you're going to get pregnant. And then he gives instructions. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And then verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God, very awesome. And I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. Then she told the instructions of what he had said. Don't drink any wine. I think that's still pretty good instructions if you're pregnant. Verse 8, spiritually or if you're naturally pregnant. Verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. Now the man gets involved in this thing and asks that the Lord God send the angel back again. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to who? The woman. I know a lot of families that I think God speaks to the woman first. I could get into some of this, but it's basically because the man's not a man. But what I'm wanting to bring out here is that the woman has a spiritual ear and she can hear the Spirit. And then this is a very clear example of that the angel of the Lord was much more impressed upon getting the word to the woman than he was in getting the word to the man. And then it goes through this thing again in verse 13. He appears, and the woman goes gets the husband, and he goes and sees the angel. So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, let the woman pay attention to all that I said. She should not eat anything that comes from the vine, or drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observe all that I commanded her. So how many sees here now what we're talking about is that the message of the Lord come to a woman. Is she married? Amen. She's married. And I could give you a lot of examples like this. More examples and more examples. We could talk about Sarah, how the Lord visited Sarah. Amen? Remember how the Lord spoke to Sarah? Sarah was laughing. God said, you're going to get pregnant. Sarah laughs in the tent. And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. And the Lord God said, you did laugh too. And Rebecca, how about Rebecca? She's having trouble with a pregnancy. So she inquires of the Lord, and the Lord told her that two nations were in her womb. The Lord revealed to Rebecca about the two nations that were in her womb. And who was in there? Esau and Jacob. The Lord revealed to Rebecca, before he revealed it to Isaac, of what was in her womb and what she would be bringing forth. That's interesting. Kind of knocks us men down, doesn't it? We think we're so spiritual. The Lord revealed that to Rebecca. Judges 4. We'll use this one, and then we'll maybe not turn to it. We're just in Judges, so just look over there with me. Judges 4. All these women were married. This one is also. And so far, what we've basically seen is hearing from the Lord God and hearing the message of the Lord. But what I want to bring out here in Judges 4 is talking about the gifts that God has given women and how they're supposed to be utilized. What we're talking here is about Deborah and Barak. Now, Deborah was a judge in Israel. Start with verse 4. Now, Deborah, a what? A prophetess, the wife of this guy, was judging Israel at that time. And she used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah. Now, did Deborah have a special gift and calling and anointing? Yes, she did. And she's the one that came forth with the word of the Lord. Look now at verse 6. Now she sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. And I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his many troops to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand. Then Barak said to her, if you'll go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. How obedient is Barak here to the word of the Lord? And it wasn't that he didn't want to receive it from Deborah. He wanted Deborah to go with him. He's just a disobedient guy. Okay? Now Deborah says, okay, we'll do it. But by your doing this, what's really going to happen is that you're not going to get the honor for it. And the Lord's going to give the honor to a woman. Look at verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of the woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Now, the main thing that I want to draw from here is not the disobedience of the man or all that stuff, but specifically that Deborah is a prophetess. And the word of the Lord came to a nation. Now listen to me. The word of the Lord came for the good of a nation through Deborah. Am I right? So surely then, a woman should be able to prophesy in the midst of the congregation. Come on. Could go on talking about this forever and ever, just drawing out as I wanted to prepare this and tune up my spirit to bring this morning. Could go on talking and about how so many, many women in the scriptures labored with the Lord, how they ministered to the Lord, ministered for the Lord. We could talk about the Syrophoenician woman. And it was to her that Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith. Amen? Not in all of Israel. She had the revelation. Even the crumbs are good. About Mary Magdalene. So delivered, so ministered to by Jesus that it was her that saw Jesus first. First mortalized to lay on Jesus after his resurrection. Mary and Martha, who sat at his feet, literally dialogued with the Christ God. The adulterous woman, who we've quoted so much, the words that Jesus said to her, go and sin no more. Could go on and on and on. I want to bring it to a close. And if you'll look with me now in the book of Romans, chapter 16. And see, ladies, I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. The main one I think that I'm speaking it to is to the principalities and the powers of the air. Anything that causes confusion is an enemy to us. And we're bringing down a stronghold right now in our fellowship. Shared this morning with the men's breakfast, just a little bit. Not what I've given you, but just a little bit of what I was going to say. Mike said, Delwood, I really believe if you bring that this morning, it's going to release the women to function in the gifts of the Spirit in our midst. Ladies, I want you to know, we want you to move. We want you to function. There's an anointing in you. There's a need in you to minister. My wife ministers to me like nobody else can minister to me. My wife ministers in the prophetic way, and many of you have a prophetic calling, or tongues, or interpretations, or discernment of spirits, and these things are necessary in the body of Christ. And he says because you haven't judged the body properly, that many of you are weak and sick, and some of you are even dead because we haven't allowed the body to minister to the body. Yeah. Romans 16. So very, very interesting. Paul gives a list of those that are with him, those who are ministering with him and serving to him and with him and to the churches. I mean, got to get Romans 16. I knew it wasn't reading right. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a what? Servant. The word there, diaconess. She's a deacon. She has an office in the church. Who is a servant of the church. Verse 2. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matters she has need of. For she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Did the church need Phoebe? She ministered to the saints, didn't she? Verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila. Aquila is the woman. Prisca is her husband. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Note the word fellow workers. Were there fellow workers that ministered with Paul? How about Lydia? How about these ladies that so helped bring the word of the Lord to an area? Verse 4, talking here about Aquila and Prisca, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Most of you have heard me teach a good bit about church history. We went through a time, the church worldwide, global wide, where folks, if it hadn't been for the women, there may not be a church today. Now that's not true. God would have a church today. So I need to correct how I said that. But I'm wanting you to know that it's been the women that have basically kept something happening. Amen? And he says, all the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. I know that sometimes we have problems with what the Apostle Paul says. There are some certain scriptures, and I'll not even relate to them right now because I don't even want them on this tape or in our hearing. It gives us fits, and it gives me fits. But I know this. Ladies, I know you can hear God. Whether you're married or not, you can hear God. And I know that our body needs your input. And I know God wants to say some things and minister some things through you. To be complete, for me to be complete, I need my wife, male, female. For a church to be complete, it needs not only the male aspects, it needs the female aspects. Can you hear that? These are the ones that I've just ministered to you here are the post-ascension women. So I don't want to just leave it with those that ministered directly with Jesus. I wanted to bring Paul into this because it's usually Paul's statements that we have such conflict with and misunderstanding. I'm closing now, and I just want to quote to you and read to you some scriptures out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Very familiar, you'll know them. It says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." That's 1 Corinthians 12 and 7. To each one, every person has something to manifest for the common good of our body. Is that right? Amen. That's what the Bible says. Each one of you, not only men and not only women, each one. And then he goes on, and in verse 8 through 10, he lists those gifts: tongues, interpretations, and prophecies. He talks about discernment and word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and he talks about healing and faith and miracles. He talks about those gifts that each one of us have to function properly as a body. We all have to function in what we have to give to the body. We all aren't preachers, and we're not called to preach. We all aren't pastors. We're not called to pastor. But we're all called to do something. Amen. And we need that something that we're all called to do. I think there are some parts in the body, isn't there, that I really don't need. I got two kidneys. I can do without one of them. You know, there's, right? But for my body to function properly, the way it's designed to function and properly function with, I need all of it. I want to keep all of it. I don't want to keep all of you. And I've lost some. And contrary to belief and what's been said, I don't think they were fingernails or toenails, things you clip off. I think they were vital parts of the body. And they had somebody's healing. They had something to give somebody. And because of darkness and the spirit that we contest against, things that aren't said are said, and misconceptions and wrong ideas, I want to bring that down today. I want to release the women to minister. I don't want you to say, "I got the word of the Lord, but I can't give it because he don't think it's God." You see, it was Judy relating that to me that I was able to hear it. We went down to Pastor Buren's church, and that was the way she felt. Even though she knows that's not the way Buren is, even though you know that's not the way I am, there are things that you sense or pick up that won't release you to minister. And I want that down. Then he says in verse 21, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the hand of the feet, I have no need of you." Man, we can't say to the women, "We don't need you." I'm not just talking about somebody to cuddle up and get warm to. I'm talking about in the realm of the spirit. The eye needs the hand and the head needs the feet. We need each other, people. When you're down, you need the body. Nobody can minister to you like the body. When I'm down, I need you. There are some things going on inside of me right now I got to be ministered to. Ted was expressing a hurt this morning, crying out to the body, "Will you help me bring this down?" We're supposed to bring down strongholds and fortresses by the knowledge of God. I believe that the Lord has so graciously given us some knowledge today, hasn't he? Made it so very, very clear. I hope said it so very, very clearly that we can see it. So I'll ask you these questions, and then we're going to stand and make a declaration. Does the Bible say that the Lord God speaks and hears women? Does the Bible say that the Lord God speaks to women even though they are married. And does the Bible declare in the Old Testament and the New Testament that women are used in gifts and in ministry? Yes. Let's bring it down. Would you stand with me? We're going to declare the principalities and the powers, Baal of Fayette, whatever that you would declare it to be. He knows who we're talking to. No longer will that principality and that power and that spirit come and rule in here. Amen. We're going to bring it down. We're going to remove it. We're going to cut it off from its influence and its power right now. And then after we've done that, I want to release the women to ministering to this body. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord God, we believe we have heard the word of the Lord today.